We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, a very famous passage. And I put on my notes here, Ten Commandments, number one, part two, God first. So we're still talking about God being first and tying it back to the Old Testament commandment. And so we, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1 through 3, we found that God made the proclamation that He is self-existent, the supreme judge, the supreme God and judge. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight, Lord, that You would just set me aside. And Lord, that You would bring this message for each and every one of us. And Lord, that each and every one of us might have a different outlook, a different perspective, a different respect for the Ten Commandments. For Lord, I believe with all my heart that that has carried over to the church in the New Testament without fail, without doubt. Most theologians agree with that. And so, Lord, as we look at this, I pray, Lord, that You would enlighten us at what You would have us to have. And, Lord, we say a special prayer for Sister Crabtree. Oh, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that lady has been through too much this year. And I'm asking You for some reprieve. Strengthen her body. For Lord, it's not the quantity of life, it's the quality of life. And Lord, she's a servant of Yours. And oh Lord, what a faithful woman. What a testimony she has. And so Lord, I pray that Your hand would be upon her. Take away the pain. Be with Pastor Crabtree as he ministers to her. We ask You this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, going as a recap, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. God first. You could sum that up to those two words, God first. Because He is supreme, He commanded us that we would not have any other god. And so I ask this question, what does that look like? I know a lot of people would give us a lot of different answers and they would probably be on track. But as a whole, what does that look like? God first. Thou shalt have no other God before Me. I mean, after all, He is the supreme God. The self-existent. It is His commandment. And He is the judge. And He's the supreme judge. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 33, I don't know if we'll get through it or not, but I'm going to make my best attempt to. In chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. This, as I said, this is a very famous passage. But I hope that we can look into it just a little deeper and draw more from it than what we normally would when we skim through this. Treasures. Treasures can be a huge enemy of our spiritual walk with God. I think of the message that I brought here years ago about the parable of the seed and how the tares, the seeds that was sown among the tares, and Jesus wept. He cried. He that hath ears, let him hear. You see, the tares, the cares of this world, that's what the tares are. explains it. And it's one of the most dangerous things the idea of it being the most spiritual enemy with our walk with God. I just can't express it any more than that. And Jesus clarified that in that parable. And Moses spoke with God. Jacob wrestled with God. But God wants us to walk with Him. See, Noah walked with God. And God used Noah to build the ark and save mankind. Enoch walked with God, and God did not let him see death. I think walking with God is pretty important to him. I think that kind of sums it up. And so the cares of this world, right, the treasures on this earth is our biggest enemy with our spiritual walk with God. The bottom line is that God is concerned about our relationship with Him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, that will impede upon your relationship with the Lord. And treasures of this earth, let's think about what the treasures of this earth could be or is for some people. And let me tell you, some of these treasures are essential, and we got to be careful that it doesn't become a treasure to us. So what about our house? That's essential, but it's still a treasure. How important is your house to you? How about your car? In this day that we live, it would have been a horse, 100 years ago. Today it's the car, right? A horse was pretty important back in the day, right? How about your pleasure boat? I sold mine, right? So I can pick on the boats. Bastard. I did. I sold my boat. Only because there's no place to put it in the water here. Worth, the drive. When I bought my boat, I was 20 minutes from the lake. From door to shore. 20 minutes, my boat was in, I'm fishing. And so, it made sense. But what about our job? A job can be something that can get in the way with our spiritual walk, isn't it? I know many people who have allowed their job to interfere with their spiritual walk. And I warn them. I warn about it. I warn about it all the time. My number one rule when I was actually working was, I'll work for you, but I'm not working Sundays and Wednesdays. Not Wednesday nights, right? And so that eliminated me from having to do a lot of travel. They would make me travel, but I'd be home. I'd be gone sometimes on Wednesday and be in a church, in the area there. But I'd be in church, but I wasn't working Sunday night, right? And I'd be home for church services. It's important to me. And I hope it's important to you. I hope that you look at churches as essential. The government thinks it's non-essential. But I'm telling you what, Bible says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I find that pretty essential. Amen? Okay, what about records such as, how many yards a football player gains in a single game? Or a year? or how high we can score with an online gaming. You see, those are cares that can get in the way of your spiritual walk if you're not careful. And so, he says, treasures. No materialistic object or events is going to last because it will all burn someday. You know that record these football players hold? Some boxers have. I mean, I love sports. I love sports. But you see, when those things become more important to us than our relationship with God, there becomes the problem. So what does lay up treasures look like? I'm going to circle back on this question a little later. But I want you to think about that. Lay up treasures, either on this earth or in heaven. In verse number 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, anything that we put a higher precedence on than the heavenly things are corrupt, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. You see, so if whatever our treasures are becomes more important than the heavenly thing, whatever it is, I'm using that as a wide picture, those things are corrupt. And no corrupt thing will enter the kingdom of God. Things that we lay up in heaven are secured for all eternity. So, you know, we know this. We're going to carry on. This is a thought that begins to build through this chapter. Now verse number 21. For where your treasure, singular, is, there will your heart be also. You see, God wants our heart. That's what he wants. If you're saved, then he already has your soul. Now, I'm a creationist, and I always got to revert back to creation. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's the body. He breathed in man's nostrils the spirit or the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You understand, we don't have a soul, we are a soul. We are a soul. A living soul. Now, some will have an eternal death. It's going to go on forever, but it's called the second death. Some of us will live eternally in heaven, and our soul will put on an incorruptible body. Us will have a corruptible body. And so, if we lay up treasures in heaven, then God will have our heart. Where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. That's what verse 21 says. An online search in the New Testament of the Bible is commonly thought to mean money, material wealth, or any entity that promises wealth and is associated with the greed pursuit of gain. Mammon in the Hebrew means money. But in this passage, I believe it's deeper than just the dollar bill. Treasures. Right? Lay up for yourselves treasures. Mammon is singular. But where your treasure singular is, there will your heart be also. And verse number 23 and 24, but if it thine eyne be evil, 22, then the light of the body is the eye. Thy whole body shall be filled of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so if you take a person that is saved, washed in the blood, Jesus says, ye are the light of this world. But if your eye, therefore, is single, I mean, focused, if you will, your view, how great is that evil, that darkness that would cover up that light? Is the thought there. In verse number 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, you can only have one God. Hence, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other God before me. You can only have one God. A lot of people serve a lot of different gods, but they'll hold fast to one and despise the other. And so you can only have one God. And we need, each individual needs to choose which God that person wants. You want the treasures of this earth? Do you want the gods of this earth? And I want to stay away from that part of it, of this, I may have to circle back here and touch a point or two next time when I go to thou shalt have no other gods. Graven images. Okay? So, see, the commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God first. You cannot have two masters. Can't. This is not a request, people. It's a commandment. You're commanded to only have the Lord God Almighty as your God. And what a shame it is when we lose focus and other things get in the way. You see, you can't live for material wealth and God be first. You will be controlled by the thing you let come between you and serving God. You mark it down. The Bible says it. You'll hold fast to one, despise the other. You'll love one or hate the other. Anything that you allow to get in the way of that first commandment, will cause you to hold one or and not the other. If you live for materialistic things, God's not first. The decisions you make will cause you to hold to one and not the other. You begin to allow treasures of this earth into your life. Okay? That will cause you to make decisions to either hold one or the other. Sad to say that maybe it was Friday. I got the call, if you will, the text. My cousin Danny died. Now, you guys don't know him. It means nothing to you. But you see, Danny and I, we were same age. There was seven of us cousins, all the same year. Same grade, right? Seven of us. Now, we said it was in the water. I don't know. But we had a large family, and Danny was the oldest of all seven of us on my dad's side. But on my mom's side, I'm the oldest. And Danny's was one or two months older than me. And whenever I would talk to Danny, I lost track of Danny because every time I talked to him, it was about how great him and his business was doing and all this money that he was making. And he died. Young man. Now, what good was all those treasures he laid up? He would profess to be a believer when we were kids. But you can take to the bank, he didn't go to church. Those treasures got in the way. In verse number 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You see, someone who is constantly worried about materialistic things has their priorities in the wrong place. There's more to life than material things. I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's more to life than these material things that we need. See, when this life ends, it will not be what you accumulated on earth, but what you have done for God to further the kingdom of Christ. That's what's going to count. You know, worry is a lack of trust, lack of faith. Jesus says down here, O ye of little faith. In the next chapter. We're not going to go there. But that thought carries through to the next. This whole thought builds and goes on through to the next chapter. Evidence of putting God first is that you don't worry. Now I know I just offended somebody. And I don't mean to. But I'm telling you, if God is first, you won't worry about those things. Yes, there's a difference between being concerned and worrying, fretting. Verse number 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you much better than they? Now, don't you think you're a little bit more important to God than the birds of the air? Do You see, if God takes care of the needs of the birds of the air, don't you think he'll take care of yours? I mean, the older we get, Sister Haas, a godly woman, she can tell you she never lived a rich life, did you, Sue? But all of her needs have been met. And I'm telling you, she's happier than my cousin ever was with all of those riches. He was a very wealthy man. But you see, he put his priorities in the wrong place. And when you're focused on the things of God, you're focused on God being first in your life, it's not going to be so important whether I'm driving a 2007 Honda or 2020 BMW. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying a BMW in 2020. The Lord's giving you that kind of money. Don't get me wrong. But is that what you're working for? Is that where your priorities are? It's going to burn one day. I think the biggest waste of money is just buying a brand new car. Personally, you drive off lot, just lost $10,000. Just buy it a year old. Save $10,000. And, you know, 5 years down, 10 years down, it's only going to be worth $3,000. So just drive it until it dies and get your money's worth out of it. And then move on to the next one. See, worrying will not accomplish anything except to give you ulcers, stress, and a heart attack. It is detrimental to your health. And he says there, give no thought, if you will, take no thought of your life. I mean, don't worry about it. Because the Lord will take care of you. Recapping from last week, Deuteronomy 6:2, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God, Lord God of thy fathers, hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Let's think about that. Let's think about that. He says, if you will keep my commandments, I'll give you all of this stuff. That's, you know, that's not getting the cart in front of the horse. I'm not even there yet. But he says here last week that if you'll keep the commandments, he'll prolong your life. Now, some people still might still die at 50 years old, but maybe you would have died 20 or 15. You know, we don't know how many years God's added to us. I can tell you now, he's added many years to my life. I should have died a long time ago the way I used to behave. And that's not a laughing matter. It's the truth. But God has prolonged my days. I can promise you that. See, keeping God's commandments will lengthen your days. Take care of your financial needs. But worrying will only shorten your life. In verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Lost people. I can put it that way. Lost people. Non-believers. That's the way they think. I can go down the list with the Clintons and all the rich people of this life. that have more than what they'll ever be able to spend and more than their grandchildren and great-grandchildren will ever be able to spend. Donald Trump. He's going to leave back a financial gathering that will be squandered. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You see, it doesn't come to God by surprise that you lack certain things. It didn't catch him by surprise. This virus in the economy shutting down did not take God by surprise. In fact, he ordained it, if you ask me. I think it's a precursor, but we're not going to go into prophecies. God has allowed this. Like I said earlier, jokingly, if we're dealt lemons, make lemonade. You know, I can sell at least one of my hankies. Where's it at? It says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first. Do you want all of these things that we need? Do you want food, raiment, a house? Then seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of what things? All of the things he just talked about. Food, raiment, housing, your needs. Now, we don't always get what we want. And it's for our own sake. I think of you know, Adam and Eve in the garden. And God wasn't keeping the fruit back from them. It was there for the taking, but he said, don't do it. It's not what you really want, not what you need. But if you do, in the day that you do, then you're going to die. And sometimes God doesn't give me what I want. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. It means he does love me. And because he does love me, he doesn't always give me what I want. And so, seek. Seek ye first. Seek. It's an uncertain affinity to seek, literally or figuratively. Specifically by Hebraism, H-A-B-R-A-I-S-M, in parentheses, but to worship. Specifically to worship God, or in a bad sense, to plot against life. Be about desire, endeavor, inquire. See, there is the desire there, to seek. Seek after. In Matthew 13:45 reads this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the idea of seeking. What are you willing to give up? Is your desire for the kingdom of God and his righteousness more important to you than your job, than your house? Whatever's more important to you than that, my friend, is not allowing God to be first in your life. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Me first is what God is saying. God first. Seeking sometimes brings the idea of desiring something to the point of worship. Think about that. This is exactly why Christ tells us not to lay up treasures on earth. See, to lay up treasures in earth, sometimes you begin to seek after those treasures. It means to go after them. I always liken passages to a guy that has met a woman and fallen madly in love with her. Women, you might not understand this, but men do. They will move heaven and earth to capture that girl's love. That's all he'll think about. That's what he will strive for. Is to woo that lady. And so, Christ is warning us about laying up treasures on earth. Why? Because they're going to get in the way of your relationship with God. To lay up treasures is something you begin to seek after. To look for it. To try to obtain it. And once you begin to seek after or desire something, it can become a form of worship. I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other God before me. And so when we begin to lay up treasures on this earth, then we desire those things more than we desire God. If we're not careful. Like I said, it's nothing wrong with having a new house, a new car. God has given you the finances and wherewithal to do that. And you honor, you know, what John says, 1 John. Any man seeth his brother... Any man having this world's goods, I'm just going to paraphrase it, see his brother in need, and not aid that individual, where is the love of God? You see, there's nothing wrong with having treasures. But once you begin to lay them up, they begin to get in the way of your spiritual worship. It will be begin to control you or control your desire, which begins to control your worship. See, we need to desire God's kingdom over earthly treasures or earthly kingdoms. There's a lot of bad things going on in this world today. Things that I don't even want to talk about. Things that we turn a blind eye to. But they're going on around us. And it's all driven by earthly treasures. Greed. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. God first. God first. God's commandments come with promises. Do you understand that? They also come with curses. If you don't obey them. Right? The commandments. Promises of blessings if we keep them, and promises of cursing if we don't keep them. You can search that out. We're going to talk about that next time I get the opportunity to speak, because I'm going to be on the next few verses in Exodus. Go read it. Get ahead of me. And you're going to see that he promises cursings to them that don't keep it. And he promises blessings to those that keep it. Remember, this commandment is the commandment that all the other commandments hang on. I got to hurry. I'm telling that to myself, not you. I mentioned earlier that God is concerned about our relationship with him. If we lay up treasures on earth, it will burn. But the worst part is it will interfere with our walk with God. You understand that? You see, God isn't putting himself up on that pedestal because he don't love us. He understands what happens. He put us here to worship him. When we get to heaven, we will be worshiping him constantly. Day and night, if there's a night. You know, for all of eternity, we're going to be worshiping him. And he's a jealous God, and he's not going to let any other God interfere with him. Remember Isaiah 6:1? And Isaiah, he saw God high and lifted up. No other God. God in his right position. Think about that. And he saw God high and lifted up. He had God in the rightful position. No other God. No other God. We need to seek God's righteousness. His righteousness. Not only do we need to seek his kingdom, but we need to seek his righteousness. And this is basically a heart condition. God's kingdom is a place. But his righteousness is a condition, if you will. Does that make sense? When we seek after his righteousness, what's that look like? Bringing our heart into subjection of God and his will. Not just for our life, but for all matters of life and worship. We should be seeking God's will for all aspects of our life, especially in our worship. And that's why we don't let certain things into this church. That's why Pastor Scott has a radar set up around him, right? Pastor Crabtree likes to call them watchdogs. But he's got the radar up around him to stop these things that come into our worship service. And so it's important that we understand that his righteousness is a heart condition. And how I worship God is a heart condition. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Right? It's a heart condition. His righteousness. To want to learn more about God and what he expects of us. That's seeking his righteousness. My wife sings a wonderful song, I Want to Know You More. It's not necessarily a song we would sing in church, but I'd sing it at home all the time. Love to hear it. I was watching going down the, you know, say, well, because there's a difference between a worship service and home. And not that it's bad music, okay? But some would want to say that it might not be hymnal music, okay? But it's worship music. Oh, I'll tell you, when she sings it, I just, oh, Lord, I want to know you more. To know your heart, know your mind. One writer writes this, let your principal care and study be how to get to heaven. See, let your principal care and study be how to get to heaven and how to promote the kingdom of God in this world. You see, we need to seek after God's righteousness like a man searching for great pearls. It is simply put, as thou shalt have no other gods before me, God first. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is a lifelong mission. It doesn't just end when you walk out of here, and it doesn't start when you get here. It's a lifelong mission to want to get to know God more, to do all the studying, to never end in learning. Pastor Crabtree will tell you, he's 80-some years old and he's just beginning. And that's the way it should be with each and every one of us. I've got written in the beginning of my Bible, the longer I live, the less I know. This comes with a desire to know God more. And the more I learn, the more I realize I didn't know much before. And so our heart's desire should be that we want to know more about God. We want to get to know the God of this Bible. We want to get to know the God of the commandments. And once you get to understand those commandments, you will see them all through the New Testament. Not just by principle, but by quotes and by reflection. We need to strive to live our life to be more like Christ. That is what seeking his righteousness is. To live our life in such a way that we become more like Christ. More and more every day. We'll never get there. But you know what? If you don't strive for it, you'll never even come close. You'll always be way back here. It should be your desire to want to walk with God. And that's what he's talking about, seeking his righteousness. And if we do those things, he'll give you all those things he talked about. He'll take care of your needs. I think he takes care of our needs sometimes just out of fulfilling promises, not because of the way that we're living. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. You see, one writer writes concerning seeking God's righteousness. One who seeks for this may well be content to leave all else in his Father's hands. Even without his asking, they shall be added unto him in such measure as best for him. And so what? So what, as we close? Where is God in your life? those that are watching online, where's God in your life? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not even close. To have God in his rightful position, you must come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I could preach a whole sermon just on that, and I won't. But except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. We can't even seek it if we haven't been saved. And being saved is the very first step to seeking God's kingdom. You will be granted eternal life, and one day you'll be there in that kingdom. But he's talking about on this earth, seeking his kingdom. Right? Working toward that kingdom. Furthering the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And seeking God's righteousness in our life. To live and be more like Christ. And so, are you striving to further the kingdom of God? That's my question. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll have the piano play and give everybody a moment to reflect. And if God has spoken to your heart, do business with God. Because now is the appointed time for salvation. Someone doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know, don't go to bed tonight without finding out and getting saved. Our Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this was your message, not mine. This is your word spoken here in Matthew. And telling us how we need to seek you first and your righteousness. Because you are the Lord our God, and we shall have no other gods before you. Father, I thank you for the privilege and honor of being here. And Lord, I pray for that one person that's listening online, that one person that's here that hasn't been living their life in such a way that is seeking your will, living their life in such a way that it interferes with their walk with you. Lord, if there be anything in my life that is in the way of me walking with you, please take it from me. If it's my house, if it's my wife, if it's my kids, whatever it is, Lord, I want to know you more and I want to walk with you. Show it to me, Lord, and I will surrender it to you. We thank you in Christ's name.